Hello and welcome to Culture with me, Robert Bound. On this week's show, we sent producer Holly Fisher cross-country to Cardiff for a new exhibition at the city's National Museum. The work under investigation is a new commission by the Icelandic artist Ragnar Kjartansson, the man who marries together music and art in beautifully repetitive and performative ways. This particular piece is called The Sky in a Room and centres around a performer playing the same song on repeat on an old ornate organ in the museum. I'm going to leave you with Holly now, who meets Ragnar, as well as the curator of the exhibition and one of the organ players.
At 2 o'clock on a sunny Friday, February afternoon in Cardiff, a smartly dressed woman sits at an organ. This marks the beginning of a 5-week-long performance of the Italian pop song Il Cielo in Una Stanza, and it's all under the instruction of Ragnar Kjartansson. Kjartansson is hot property in the art world right now. He had a big exhibition at the Barbican in 2016, and he represented Iceland at the Venice Biennale in 2013. He's famous for many works, including his installation called The Visitors, a large-scale video piece where he and some other musical chums from Iceland decamped to a big country pile in upstate New York and played a long folk song written by Kjartansson. Each musician plays from a different room, represented on a different screen, which culminates in them firing a cannon, popping a champagne bottle, and frolicking into the sunrise. This piece, titled A Sky in the Room, a direct translation of the song title, is Kjartansson's latest performance piece that's been commissioned especially for a room at the National Museum Cardiff, with blue wallpaper walls and a large skylit ceiling. It came about after he took part in the Artist Mundi Prize in 2015, one of the biggest art prizes in the UK, and was then awarded the Derek Williams Trust Purchase Award, which allows the museum to buy works by shortlisted artists.
My name's Karen McKinnon. I'm the director and curator of Artist Mundi. Artist Mundi is an international initiative based in Cardiff. We're known mostly for our prize exhibition, which happens every 2 years, where we bring to Wales anything between 5 and 10 contemporary artists. We get international selectors and curators involved to actually select the shortlist. The theme, there's no real theme other than the human condition, and an idea that the work that's selected really kind of represents really important issues that are happening in the world today, both locally and globally. So Ragnar was one of our artists in Artist Mundi 6. We did a UK premiere of his video installation, The Visitors, as part of Artist Mundi 6. But when I was showing him around the museum, where most of the work happens, he fell in love with the organ. So what we like to do with artists is we like to encourage them to come back and make site-specific works or works in relation to this particular place. And what's really beautiful about this is it's an acquisition. So this is the first performance work bought by the National Museum Wales, which will stay with us forever.
So you've worked really closely with Ragnar on this. How Yes. did you end up coming up with the concept for what the end piece is now?
It's really interesting because Ragnar, the song by Gino Paoli, The Sky in a Room, was with him already. This was sort of 4 years ago when he came to Artist Mundi, and he'd been looking or thinking about this song. For him, this song represented a song which really captured the power of love to transform the space and the world around us. And he'd been kind of looking for a home for it. And when he saw the organ, he was like, that's it. That's where this song belongs. So we started speaking about it then, even though we knew we'd need longer to actually make the work happen here.
And tell us a bit about the room that the piece is in.
Artist Mundi usually takes place in the contemporary galleries in the museum. They have a beautiful suite of white gallery spaces for contemporary art, purpose-built for contemporary art. But this piece is taking place in amongst the gallery in the museum's collection. So the room that this guy in the room is now in was full of 18th century paintings from usually British paintings, which represented a time when people travelled all over the world and toured all over the world. So it's really interesting kind of room of paintings, very significant room for the museum. The walls themselves are covered in this wonderful sort of aqua blue wallpaper, and there's some natural light just creeping in above. So what we've done is we've taken all of the paintings out of the room, which is a huge task because they're important paintings. We've stored the paintings, completely cleared it out. So now this organ, which is played every day, is the centrepiece. It's very lightly, there's only a small bit of light in there now. It looks like natural light just coming in from the skylight. So when you walk into the space, it's quite dark and you hear the sound of the performers constantly playing this beautiful song.
Yeah, and those skylights really make the sky a character in this performance as well, I think, because you see the clouds moving as the light changes, and I guess that is maybe why he decided to put the song in that room.
Yeah, absolutely. In the song itself, the room in the song is turned into the sky. The ceiling is he's lying in bed with his lover and he looks up and the room is at the sky. The ceiling is turned into the sky and the walls become a forest. So it's about that sense of the transformational power of love. But also what I love about this piece is the way that it transforms a museum, what a museum is. You know, a museum is a living, breathing space, you know, and we tend to forget that sometimes when we're used to wall-based work and painting. What's really wonderful about what the museum has done here, working in partnership with Artist Mundi, is they've allowed us to really challenge what a museum is for, you know, and how people see the museum. You hear the sound all over the museum, not just in the room itself. So I think it just brings to life the power of art as well, to sort of transform the space, to transform the way we think.
My name is Ragnar Kjartansson, and I'm a visual artist.
So, Ragnar, when did you first hear the song?
I first heard it, I got a record when I was doing a piece in Venice, like 10 years ago. And it was a Gino Paoli record called, it was one of those really untrustworthy records. It had like a model on the cover. Like a six.
Pouting, we should say. Ragnar's doing a little pouty pose right now.
The album was called, I don't remember what it's in Italian, but it's like Reading Old Love Letters, Gino Paoli. And I put it on, and suddenly there came this song in this organ version, just him and an organ. Never heard the song before, and I just, wow! And when we were in Venice, in this space, like where I was painting my friend constantly, we just drank beer and smoked cigarettes and listened to that song. Like, just put it on one more time. And then, you know, Italian, we got to know some Italian friends who told us, like, oh, this song is actually like the national anthem of love in Italy. It's, everybody knows this song. It's like a mega love song. And yeah, and therefore, and slowly I developed a relationship with this song, and now it's here in Cardiff. And I think it's great that it's here. It's like, it will be, you know, like I could not make this piece in Italy. You know, it would be ridiculous. But here it's like sometimes this distance is very important. Yeah, it's just one of the best songs I know. It's a song by Gino Paoli from 1959, and it's a love song, but it's a love song that is about transformation of space. It's the only song I know which is about that a space becomes something different than what it is. It's like when you're here with me, these walls don't exist anymore. It's just endless woods. And this purple ceiling is just sky and the sky in a room. But I just came into this space and I just remember how
I really just, wow, I love this bass with this organ in the center of it. And then this idea was just born. Just like, I just said to Karen, who is, you know, is doing Artis Mundi, and just like, wouldn't it be cool if there was a performer here and just performing Il Cielo in una stanza? And slowly then this just happened. Yeah.
Playing Il Cielo in una stanza for the next month is a rotation of 7 handpicked local musicians.
It's 7 performers in all, and it's, and they've also been working on it here with Robert, who's an organist here, and they've been just doing a great work, like, you know, seriously thinking about the organ and sound and all that, all those details. And almost like when I came, it was really almost ready. We just went over little details about like how you come in and out and stuff like that, and, you know, should you sing a little lower, a little louder. But everybody just had the right attitude and just felt really right, so I had to do very, very little.
One of the musicians playing this song is Callum Thompson, who explains the process of getting this niche job and the effects of playing the same piece of music over and over again.
I'm a freelance musician as well as a journalist, and so when I heard about this opportunity to play this organ and be involved with Ragnar, it was something that was really exciting and really intriguing to me. So I put my name forward, wasn't very sure what would happen, but I was one of the ones they picked, so I feel pretty lucky to be involved.
So what was the audition process like? Did they have you sat at an organ for 3 hours?
No, we didn't start on the organ. So the audition process was sending in a video of you singing a song very, very like the one we're singing, but not the one we're singing, and accompanying yourself on the piano or the organ. So we all sat at home and videoed ourselves and sent it in and hoped for the best. I don't think any of us are full-time organists. Obviously, you can apply a certain amount of knowledge from playing the piano, but the main challenges when you're turning to the organ are adding additional things in, like playing the pedal boards with your feet and thinking about the different sounds that you need to make by pulling out the stops. Those are the additional things that we've all been adding in over the last few weeks. So we've been in the museum after closing time, spending an hour or two at a time on that instrument, getting to know it.
That must be pretty amazing, coming to a big museum like this after hours just to play the organ.
It was quite interesting coming into the museum after hours. It's a little bit like being in a night at the museum. You know, you're wandering past all these wonderful artworks by Monet and Cézanne and heading towards the organ, which is sort of shrouded in semi-darkness, and that's the environment that we're trying to get used to and get used to playing this instrument and hearing our voices in that big room.
Tell us a bit about the organ that you're playing on today.
It's an 18th century organ that's part of the collection here at the National Museum. I think it was designed for a very, very wealthy man who lived in London, and then it's been moved around the country to North Wales and eventually became part of the museum's collection here about 20 years ago, I think. It's a beautiful instrument, and it's sometimes quite astonishing to think that it's been in existence for so many years, and that however many people, countless numbers of people, will have played this instrument over the years. So it's quite moving when you think about that and think about the number of pairs of hands that have touched those keys.
And how long is a stint at the piano during this performance?
We're each going to do 45 minutes at a time to begin with. I think there is an ambition to extend that up to an hour. So we're going to start with 45 minutes at a time, which I think is probably about 12 renditions of the song. We'll see how we get on, and if nobody falls over, then we'll extend that to an hour and see how that goes. It didn't take all that long to get used to playing the song. The song is not terribly difficult from a piano or an organ point of view, but it's getting the coordination of the singing in Italian, of course, the playing of the pedals, the changing of the stops, and then putting it all together in that room on that particular instrument. So it's been mainly individual practice that we've been doing, you know, on a rota, but we've also been coming together in the last couple of days with Ragnar to work on the details, like how to change over, what sort of demeanour we should have when we walk in and out, so that all the details are absolutely right.
Yeah, I was going to ask about your interactions with Ragnar, because I wonder how much direction you've had from him.
he's really, really enthusiastic. He is, you know, in some ways he's got all the exuberance of a child. You know, he has that excitement and wonder about what he's doing, which is really inspiring. He hasn't been terribly directive, but one of the things he did say was it's all about the ritual and it's all about the detail. So he's asked us to envisage the altar boys walking in and out of church during a cathedral service. You know, for that ritual, that calm, he wants that to be maintained all the way through so that there's no jarring distractions as we start or stop. So he's really keen on all those details working well.
So how's the switchover going to happen?
Well, when we're performing, we just go back to the beginning of the song and keep going and keep going. When it's time to switch over, one of our colleagues will emerge out of a door in the very back of the room and we'll see them out of the corner of our eye. So once we see the next person arriving, standing by the organ, we know that instead of going back to the beginning that time, we'll end it. And then we switch over by moving off the organ bench. The next person moves on. There's a quick nod of acknowledgement and then we sneak off into the darkness.
Do you think you're going to be listening to this song on repeat for weeks to come after doing this?
I really don't know what psychological effect this will have, you know, whether we will grow to hate the song, whether we'll grow to love the song, whether it will be part of our DNA forevermore, I've no idea. It's going to be really interesting physically, mentally, what this song is going to mean to us after this project is going to be really interesting to find out.
Of a lot of Ragnar Kjartansson's work is repetition. Whether he's filming American indie band The National performing their song Sorrow over and over again for 6 hours.
Sorrow found me when I was young.
Or if he's taken to an Italian crypt to repeatedly paint his friend for a few weeks. This idea of repeating something fascinates Kjartansson's curiosity about human nature.
It's just a very simple way of making something that is performative or narrative, like painterly or sculptural. It stops being like a song, stops being this narrative. It just becomes, performing a song becomes very different than like performing a song, you know, once and then the next song. It's just really, it really somehow creates a portrait of the song, but not the song itself. And also this repetition is an ancient human form of making something epic and spiritual, and that's what religion is about. Like all religions are just about repeating stuff, and it's something deeply human about repetition.
It's only my half a heart alone on the water. Cover me in rag and bone.
Yeah, and I mean, if you look at some of your past pieces, like the National performance that you did where they performed Sorry for 6 hours, was it? And by the end of that performance, they're wearing the song. You know, you can see it in every crevice in their body and they're sort of aching with it. Are you more interested in how the performer deals with this repetition or how the audience sees it as they're watching it?
I'm just interested in both, and interested in you can mainly maybe how a performer embraces it, how you embrace a song and just like dive into it, and it's really beautiful to watch performers do that. And you know, for audiences, I always have no expectations, which I think is like is what I like from art pieces. I really, as an audience myself, I really never like to be told what I should feel or get from it. It's just like it's just there.
But when, I guess as well, when you're making art where you're relying on someone else to do the performance, are you sometimes surprised by your own reaction to the things you've made?
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I was like, for this piece, I was, you know, I was very happy with the piece and very, you know, sometimes you get this sort of confident feeling like, yeah. But now when I saw it, it was actually, yeah, it was actually really moving. Because it stops being, you know, what I was planning. It just becomes their performance, and they are great. It's just like a great group of people who are performing it like very beautifully.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Sort of almost handing your art over to somebody else and giving the control to someone else for 5 weeks, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I just said to them now, like after we've done rehearsals, it's like now it's theirs, you know.
And I wonder how you listen to music just when you're at home. Do you like to listen to songs on repeat? Because I will sometimes listen to one song over and over again for one day, and some people think I'm a bit crazy for that. But I wonder when you feature repetition of songs so much in your work, if that's how you listen to music at home as well.
Yeah, I listen to it a lot like that. It's always this, like, just once more. You know, when I fall in love with a song, it's just, you know, can I just play one more time?
You can never have too many times.
No. It's always one more time. Yeah. So, yeah, I just really love that. And, you know, like that old thing you did as a kid to, like, put a song on a cassette, repeat it, and, yeah, maybe it comes from that. But it's also, like, yeah, just like you say, it really comes from real life. Like, we really like listening to stuff again and again.
But I always think it's quite interesting because in some places in the world, that's used as torture.
Yeah, I think, you know, it definitely, I mean, like, they use this method in Guantanamo. They use this method in Guantanamo Bay to repeat a song, but they don't use Il Cielo in una stanza. They use just, born in the USA! And, you know, I think that is, that could be torture.
Do you have songs that you're slowly sort of building up and think, one day I want to do something with that piece of music? Or does it come to you when you have a commission or you know you've got a space that you need to put something in?
No, it never comes out of, like, I have to do something with this. It usually comes from, boom, you know, just like, it just sort of happens. Like it happened here. Like, I just saw this bass and thought of this song and never thought it was going to become a reality. It was just like a fantasy.
The Sky in a Room is an elegant and simple idea. The song is less than 3 minutes long, but on this never-ending cycle of plays, you'll find yourself fully immersed in this blue room, even if you're not a fan of listening to the same song on repeat all day. For me, its effects were unexpectedly emotional. But as with a lot of Kjartansson's work, it took me out of the real world and provided me with a hefty dose of escapism. Be patient and spend some time with it, and it might suck you in too.
Thank you very much indeed to Holly Fisher for her report there from The Sky in a Room, the new work from Ragnar Kjartansson for the National Museum in Cardiff. You can catch the performance now, and it runs until the 11th of March. Join us again at the same time next week. For the time being, I've been Robert Bound, and thank you very much for tuning in. Per me sull'immensità del cielo.